Hello everybody, welcome to Madhusudan Subedi Tech Weekly.
Anthropic has snapped up the Bond JavaScript runtime in a move that could reshape how AI writes and ships code, elevating Bond from fast new kid on the block to essential infrastructure behind tools like Cloud Code's native installer, all while staying open source and MIT licensed with its turbocharged bundle of runtime, package manager, bundler, test runner, and single file executable builds. Under the hood, Bond's unconventional stack, JavaScript core instead of V8 and cutting-edge Jig for native code, gives it distinctive technical edge and a bit of rebel identity in the JS world. Creator Jared Sumner, who helped raise about $26 million for Bond while it brought in essentially zero revenue, now sees Anthropic as a long-term home that can fund aggressive development just as AI agents begin to write, test, and deploy more of our software. But the plot twist is the tension ahead. Jig's inventor enforces a strict no AI LLM contributor policy, even as an AI company leans heavily on the language. And developers are split between excitement that Anthropic might supercharge Bond into the default JS-TS runtime for AI era apps, and anxiety that today's free community-driven project could slowly tilt away paid features or strategic pivot decided in boardrooms, not GitHub issues. What if climbing the ladder is not the goal? A junior developer questions the default path of grow, got promoted, repeat, arguing that many roles offer little real upside for ICs, individual contributors, while reliably enriching management. The tension is clear. Performance is judged by upQ criteria. Training often means conformity, and even unglamorous roles demand 5+ years experience to fix legacy messes. Is there room for software careers centered on stability and purpose over status? Small non-growth companies, personal projects, and open source is more meaningful tracks. Work that's maintainable, help users, and does not exist to maximize someone else's return. The takeaway for teams and hiring managers, not everyone optimizes for speed and skill. There is a rising cohort that values fair pay, sane scope, and autonomy over bonuses and titles. The question is not how to accelerate growth, it's whether the industry can make space for engineers who choose craft and contributions over corporate ambition. Are product roles shrinking as LLMs reshape how teams build? Riso Group finds that AI companies list 34% fewer product manager titles as a share of openings compared to other sectors. PM roles account for 2.3% of AI postings versus 3.2 to 3.8% across dev tools, consumer data, B2B, and fintech. Based on 8,803 deduplicated job titles scraped from 100 tech firms, the analysis is directional and excludes big tech, but the gap is clear. The implication is that AI-first organizations may be shifting headcount toward model building, infra, and data roles while expecting existing teams to absorb more product responsibilities. PM scope could trend more technical and system-oriented with fewer pure orchestration roles. Let's see how these percentages evolve as agentic workflows mature and builder PM expectations rise. Why are many Seattle engineers hate AI right now? Especially big techs, Microsoft, where layoffs forced adoption of underperforming Copilot tools, and AI or nothing, organization politics have bred resentment. Engineers were told projects failed because teams did not embrace AI, even while being required to use tools that often made work slower and worse. The result? top talent rebranded as Not AI, stock watching compensation stall and autonomy vanish. The surprising twist is how this environment shapes beliefs. Engineers start to think AI is useless and they are not qualified to work on it anyway. That self-limiting loop hurts companies, employees, and local builders. Compared with San Francisco, where curiosity and permissions to build still exist, that belief in one's agency is now a competitive advantage. The takeaway for leaders: stop using AI as a political shield. Empower teams to shape and evaluate tools honestly, and rebuild trust before cynicism hardens into permanent resistance. Is Discord getting a pass it shouldn't? Mark Shimin in his article argues that the same standard applies to production code. Readability, dry, refactoring, reviews should apply to test. Sloppy patterns like copy-paste suits, commented out zombie code, arbitrary words, and blocking sync calls make maintenance harder and slow teams down. The point of good code is not the computer, it's future humans who have to read and change it. What's the practical guidance? Use test-specific best practices, think UX unit test patterns, write descriptive tests without sacrificing dry, and avoid duplications that leads to shotgun strategy when behavior changes. There are narrow dispensations. Test code can relax some security and platform rules when it never saves. Example: hard-coded test credentials, skipping certain async context rules in .NET, allowing orphan instances in Haskell. The takeaway from teams: treat test code as a first-class citizen. It's part of the system's maintainability, not a temporary scaffold.
Bye-bye from Madhusudan Zubili Tech Weekly. See you next week.